20 minutes a day, Jim. That's all it takes. 20 minutes a day, all feet, no hands, and I'll have the petty dexterity of a chimp, and you'll be sitting there like an idiot. Okay, here we go. Ah, yes.
Do you mind?
I'm sorry, Pam. Allow me to write you an apology letter.
You don't have to do that.
D-E-A? Backspace A, dear?
Thank you, Hans. Nothing else in the universe can do what you do. Oh, don't worry about it. Dwight, it's okay. You were wrong.
It's so hot.
Well, A for effort, right?
So the idea is sometimes we think we can do things, but it's not as easy as it looks. When is the last time you tackled something and you thought, I've got this, it's going to be no problem at all, and it turned out to be a bigger job or more difficult, or maybe an unexpected failure came your way? And we're finishing up a series talking about how does God get in the middle of everyday life? That it's not about being religious, it's not about trying to earn your way to God. How does he just show up in everyday life and tackling projects and having things come our way that are unexpectedly more difficult? That's a huge part of life. And so look in your notes, you can write, Jesus cares about how my life turns out, because isn't that what I'm wondering when something arrives and it's more difficult than I thought? It's like, how is this going to turn out? How am I going to get through this? How am I going to get over this? You know, now that I see this happening, what's the ending going to be like? And before we ever get there, it's important to at least entertain the idea that God wants to be in the middle of it with you. It's not about having some sort of an image or a perfect reputation, that everyday life sometimes looks like that video. I got this. I think I can do this. And then the next thing you know, it's not working. I want to read you a story today. It's about Jesus and some of his friends, and they're sort of in this type of situation. So let me read it to you. That day when evening came, he said to his disciples, Jesus is talking, let us go over to the other side. Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along just as he was in the boat. There was also other boats with him. A furious squall came up and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said, Teacher, don't you care if we drowned? He got up and rebuked the wind and said to the waves, Quiet, be still. Then the wind died down. It was completely calm. He says to his disciples, Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith? They were terrified and asked each other, Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him. Who is this? Now, that would be a question that comes up this time of year, Christmas time. Jesus shows up on Time Magazine, lots of shows about Jesus. And some people would say he's a teacher, just like they did, that he's a great teacher that lived a long time ago, had important things to say to us. Other people see him as a prophet, a guru. Who's Jesus? It'll show up at Christmas time. He sort of emerges, and people start to wonder again, who is Jesus? And he's a real person with a real life. And let me give you some backdrop to this story. He's been having some family problems. Now, Jesus grew up in a regular family. He was a carpenter. A lot of people think he just ran the family business. He was the oldest. Everybody had the same friends. They went to the same church. And then all of a sudden, Jesus makes a big change in his life. He leaves the family business, or he stops being a carpenter. He picks new friends. And he's going all over the place telling people that he's the Son of God. Now, if you have children and, you know, the teacher called you up one day and said, we need a parent-teacher conference because your son is telling everybody he's God's son, that'd be a little alarming, you know. And Jesus is going around and he's telling everybody you don't have to be religious to be with God. And that's not working where in their community, because this is a really super religious community. Israel, everybody goes to the same church. You're either in or out. And Jesus is saying none of that matters at all. What matters is understanding that God cares about you and how your life goes. And this is a whole new type of thing. And it's alarming to his family. And they're concerned about him. And they're trying to stop him. And Jesus has just had another difficult conversation with his family. And so he decides to step back from it and go on a boat ride. And if you find yourself this month in another difficult conversation with your family, remember, sometimes it's okay just to step back. Step back from it. And he must really trust these guys. He really trusts these guys because the minute he gets in the boat, he falls asleep. He's really super, super tired. He gets into the boat and bam, he's sound asleep. And several of his friends are commercial fishermen. So just know, when Jesus picks his troop to be with him, he doesn't even pick the people that goes to church. So if you've ever wondered, would God pick me to do anything cool or use me in this life? And then you thought to yourself, well, why would he use me? I don't even go to church. I haven't been to church forever. And he picks these kind of everyday people from life. And some of them are commercial fishermen who have a lot of experience and a lot of talent on this particular huge lake called the Sea of Galilee. And so he probably scopes it out and says, I'll be fine. I'm going to catch a nap. I mean, these guys are pros. And they're probably thinking it's okay to, shh, don't wake him up. He's tired. Do you see him fighting with his mom? Just let him sleep. We got this. And we're professional fishermen. We know this lake. We have experience on this lake. When is the last time you thought, I have a lot of experience and skill, and yet something came your way that was greater than your experience and bigger than your skill? I mean, you went into it and you thought, hey, you weren't even bragging. You're just like, I know how to do this. A lot of people get into relationships. They're in a relationship for a long time. They get married. They think, I've got this. I know how to be in relationships. You know, and one person was talking about his grandmother. She was married 5 times, and she says, she's been practicing a lot. She'll probably be good on the 6th time. You know, I've got this. And then you get into something in your relationship, and all of a sudden it's just bigger than you thought. Or you got through high school just fine. You get into college, and it's like bigger than I thought. That's these guys. They have the experience, and they have the talent, and they run into something that's too difficult, which is definitely a part of everyday life. There they are. So let's see what their story's like. Right, number one, don't wait until the last minute. A furious squall storm comes up, and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. I've got this. I know how to do this. And then the storm arrives, and it's too big, and they wait before they go to God. Are you waiting to talk to God about anything, but you haven't talked about him yet because you're thinking, I got this. I don't need to. One person told me, who I work with, said, God's got big problems in the world. He's not concerned about my problems. Waiting and waiting. And they're just waiting. They're waiting, and they never go to him. And this is an odd little lake. It's 600 feet below sea level. And it has these mountains all around it, and it creates these pressure systems. And these storms sort of come in unexpectedly. And now they're out in the middle of this lake. They thought everything was going to be fine. Let Jesus take a nap. He's counting on us. And now this big storm comes raging in, and they're waiting before they go to the Lord. And my question for you today is, are you waiting to talk to God about anything, but you're hesitating? And maybe you have your reasons. Maybe you feel like you don't deserve to get to talk to him. Sometimes people get Santa Claus and Jesus mixed up. I've been more naughty this year than nice. I shouldn't expect to receive anything from God this year. So I hesitate. I don't go to Jesus. Or maybe you feel like that there's some certain things you have to clean up in your life first before you could talk to God about your life. Or maybe you made some decisions and you knew you shouldn't have made them, and now you're in a big mess and you're like, well, I can't talk to God about that because I knew I shouldn't have done it in the first place. Whatever it is. You could be on the earning system. I can't talk to God about my problems. How to plug your own in. Here's mine. I don't like to go talk to God about the same thing over and over and over again because it reminds me that I keep failing. I don't like to go ask him for forgiveness for the same thing again. And God, I need your help. I've got this guy I work with that drives me absolutely crazy. The problem is he's my boss. You have a boss like that, and this guy just drives me absolutely crazy. And I want to be a Christian guy to him, and I want to, you know, care about him and care about his life and everything. But, I mean, so I get all settled. I go to God. It's like, God, you know what? I have no right to look down on him, even though I'm way smarter. Let me just sign that. But, and I just don't have a right to do that. So I'm just going to, you know, forgive me of that attitude, and I want to be supportive today and listen. I'm going to be a really good worker today. And all of a sudden, you just feel like you come out of a phone booth. You got a big C on your chest. Christian man. You know, you go through it, and then you go and you talk with him. He's just an idiot. And you're just like, ah. So you have a bad attitude again, and the whole rest of the day. And you know you should go talk to God to get more help, but you don't want to because you think, I think this is the 937th time we've had the conversation. And certainly at some point, God's going to say, listen, you know, how many times are you going to come to the well? God's not a well. He's a person that cares about me. He never runs dry. And you may be struggling with a sin, a relationship, a habit, and you've gone to God so many times, like me, you've gone to him so many times, and this time you're like, oh man, I don't want to go again. Please hear the Lord say, come as you are. Every time I will welcome you. Come as you are. You know, whatever it is, they hesitate. They don't go to him. So I wanted to ask you the question today. What is it that's keeping you from turning to Jesus? And would you be willing to push it aside and push through it? And go give him the chance to respond to you. Don't you just hate it when someone decides for you what your response is going to be and never gives you a chance to actually respond? Why didn't you come and tell me? Well, I thought you'd say that. Well, you didn't even give me a chance. Well, I'm just saying. Push through. Whatever's causing you to hesitate, give him a chance to respond. Now, number two in your notes, don't write the wrong ending. Don't write the wrong ending. He got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, quiet, be still. Then the wind died down. It was completely calm. That's the ending. And if you've ever wondered if there's a creator, and I know that's a big thing, you know, how did it all start? Is there a creator? This is like one of the really good little snapshots in the Bible that there's a creator. Because here's the Creator speaking. I mean, who talks to the wind? Well, I've seen people do it, but they're crazy. But I mean, who talks to the wind and the wind listens? And the waves listen. When the Creator spoke to creation, there's a picture here. He speaks to it. But that's not, you know, do you see the ending that the disciples write? We're going to drown! We're not going to tell everybody that you love them. We're not going to see the miracles. We're not going to change everything away from religion into relationship. None of that's going to happen. We're actually going to die in the middle of this lake. You have any dreams and you're kind of thinking how the dream's going to go, and then some big storm hits and you're like, oh, it's not going to end like that. It's going to end in divorce. It's going to end in my kids not willing to listen to me. I'm going to get fired. I thought this was going to be a great job. I was going to be cool. I was going to be able to pay my bills. No, that's not how it's going to end. I'm going to get fired. I'm going to be at the bottom of the lake. I'm not going to get to the other side. And they do what I do a lot. It seems like they're asking Jesus a question, but they're actually blaming Jesus. It's like, don't you care if we drowned? That's not a question. Have you ever heard anybody ever, like, they say it in a question to you, but it's not really a question. You know, are you ever going to get home on time from work? That's not a question. That's an accusation. You know. And I do just what they're doing. I blame God sometimes based on the circumstances of my life. In fact, I go further. I decide how much God loves me based on my circumstances. I do that. Big storm comes up. Or here's what happens. I feel like I'm doing what God wants me to do. I don't know if maybe you ever had this happen. You feel like God wants you to do a certain thing, take a certain job, be with a certain people, and you do it, and then you think, well, if I do, what God asks me to do, it's going to be smooth sailing. And then when it isn't smooth sailing, you're like, come on, God. Don't you care? You told me to do. You're the one that said to get in the boat in the first place. Couldn't you have done something about the storm? Just think about it. Is there anything going on in your life and you're like, I really felt like God wanted me to do this, and now I have a storm to deal with. This sucks. This isn't right. And then I start to blame. God, you could have done so. I don't know. This just makes sense to me because I think he can do anything. God, you could make the storm stop. I do this all the time. I start to blame. And it's just not God. I blame people at work. I blame customers. I blame people I work with. I even blame the weather. Stupid snow today. Nobody's coming into work. I'm going to, and then do you ever build on your fears? Stupid snow today. Nobody's going to come to work. I'm not going to sell anything. I'm not going to be able to pay my bills. I'm going to be homeless. I'm going to have to go live at the rescue mission, and I'll get the money the church is giving. You ever do that? That's what they're doing. They're like, we're going to drown. I mean, just because a boat goes down doesn't necessarily mean you're going to drown. I mean, they're kind of getting a little dramatic. I mean, I know it's scary, but it's not like guaranteed I'm going to drown if the boat sinks. But for them it is. And for me it is a time, because when I'm blaming, I always write the wrong ending. Always. I just write the wrong ending. And they write the wrong ending. And when they go wake up Jesus, I like these guys. I relate to them. They seem like me in my life. They get all frazzled and they start blaming people and get all pissy and as I watch their story, it's so encouraging to see how Jesus is with them. Because he doesn't stop up and say, you think you are. I'm the Son of God. Take that tone with me. Because you've done that before, and so have I. And people have blamed us for stuff that wasn't our fault. But he doesn't. In fact, he doesn't even talk to him at first. Do you ever avoid God because you're expecting a lecture? You don't want to go be with God because you're expecting, or you don't even want to talk to anybody about God because you're expecting a lecture. I have two jobs. I'm a pastor. I've been a pastor most of my life, and I'm a car salesman. Is there two jobs that are worse for repelling people? I could go anywhere in any setting and tell someone I'm a pastor, and they start backing up. And then if I say, well, as long as you're backing up, I'm also a car salesman, now they're turning around. Nobody wants to talk to me because they're afraid I'm going to lecture them or steal from them or hurt them or be dishonest with them or put them in a situation that's going to be a situation they don't want to be in. And that's exactly what people feel about religious people. You're going to ask me to do something. You're going to tell me I shouldn't live with it. You're going to say something about my lifestyle. And that's unfortunately our reputation in our country, church people. We're going to say things about people's situations that they don't want to hear. They don't go to Jesus. And it's such an awesome picture of how he is with us and I guess how we can be with other people. Jesus doesn't even say anything to them. This is what I love about him. He doesn't get enrolled in my expectations. He always stays exactly who he is. They nicknamed him the Rock because wherever he went and whatever he did, he was completely 100% thoroughly consistent. Just like a rock. You put a rock in the river, it's a rock. You put a rock on your windshield, it's a rock. You put a rock over on a bookshelf, it's a rock. Jesus is a rock. He doesn't get enrolled. They have all kinds of expectations, and he's who he is. Speaks to the winds and the waves. He goes, it's going to end different than you think. Which is great, because can you imagine if we wrote the ending and it always happened? Because a lot of times I write endings I don't even want to live in. I just know we're going to get divorced. I had a lot of divorce in my family when I grew up. And you know, you get into marriage and you think it's going to be fine and you move along and then a huge storm hits and it's just so natural. Go, she's leaving. I'm leaving. This isn't going to work out. You write an ending you don't even want. And aren't you glad that it doesn't automatically happen? Because Jesus gets this. And it says he just speaks a word. And it goes completely calm. It was on the outside, but I do want to say this. And I'm grateful. Sometimes Jesus is the only one that can calm me down. I just get so riled up. Or my circumstances get so riled up. And I want to fall back on my maturity or my growth or my discipline, or I want Clarice or I want a friend, I want somebody to do something. And what I've discovered is sometimes Jesus is the only one that can bring the calm. And he speaks it with a word. In the Bible it says he spoke everything into existence. Power of language. And sometimes he's the only one that can say it. That's why it's so important to have a relationship with him so he can speak to you. We don't follow a dead guy. We're not trying to connect with somebody that lived in history and is dead now. And we go read a book about them and we think, okay, now, I wonder what they would do if they were in my... That's not our story. He was born at Christmas and he rose at Easter. We're someone that can speak calm into our lives. Into our lives. One of the reasons we always open with those funny clips, and, you know, the guys work really hard to find those, is because we're trying to send the message that the church can be fun. And that Jesus is alive and he's not a killjoy. Do you know that during Jesus' time on earth, they called him a glutton and a drunkard? Because he would hang around at so many parties. You know, I guess Jesus was like, hey. You know, he'd eat with people and drink with people and be in their homes and hanging out with people. And the religious establishment said, he must be getting drunk. Look at that guy. He's always partying and eating. Do you know? He likes being with people. He likes being with you and me. If you think you're super, super bad and sinful and you have a terrible past, then I understand that. And yet the Bible says he's a friend of sinners. When I was 20 years old, I just called out to him. I was still a drug addict. I was still bitter about my childhood. I didn't have enough discipline to put even 2 or 3 days together. But I called out to him. Just like, that's why I like these guys. They're a mess. They totally forget that Jesus is a miracle worker. They totally forget this, that in the beginning of the story, Jesus says, let's us go over to the other side. They completely forget that he's already told them what the end of the story is. He didn't say, you know what, let's get in a boat, I'm going to go to sleep, and we're all going to die in the middle of the lake. Sound like fun? He told them, he says, let's get in a boat, and we're going to go to the other side. Have you forgotten anything God has said to you because the storm has arrived? And he's already said it. He already told him. He says, let's go over. Oh, they completely forgot that. I do that all the time. I'm going to take care of you. Everything's going to be okay. And then halfway through the month, nothing's happening. It's normal. They are a mess when they show up with Jesus, just like I was. And they're not even nice to him. This is all your fault. Don't you care? It's amazing how he acts towards them. And this is what he says, paraphrase. Why do you think you forget that I care how your life turns out? He's not scolding them. He's just asking the question, and it's a good question. It's like when your son comes home and he keeps wrecking his bicycle. And you sit down and you say, honey, why do you think you keep wrecking your bike? Why? He wants you to have something better. he says to him, he says, why do you keep forgetting? I care. And it's great what they say. Who is this? Who acts like this? Do you know the longer you're with him, get used to that. Because he does so many things that just make you go, who does this? I don't know anybody like you. You should be screaming at me right now. You should be putting me in my place. You should be reminding me. You should be lecturing me. You should be telling me, well, how dare I think I should get anything from you because I've done this sin like 300 times. Who does this? Who is it? Same thing everyone will be asking in some way this Christmas. Who is this? The bottom line, Jesus is our Savior. He saves us. He saved me from drugs. He saved me from bitterness. He saves me from a pattern of dishonesty that always sabotaged my life. He saves me the next time I'm dishonest. He saves me. Taught wonderful things. Prophet, guru, that's fine. But who he is Savior. This is the first Christmas. Listen, the shepherds, remember in the Christmas story, and the angel shows up with the shepherds? This is what the angel says to the shepherds. Today your Savior, Christ the Lord, was born in David's city. What do you need to be saved from? He's a Savior. That's who he is. And that's what they find out in the boat. When Jesus is in the boat doesn't sink. That's what they find out. He doesn't do a teaching. Well, gentlemen, get your rain gear on. This is how you handle a bad storm. Everybody get in your positions. He doesn't go to teaching. He saves them. They come to him a mess. But they do come to him. That's our part. And your part. Don't let anything hold you back. Don't let anything convince you that you can't go to Jesus. These guys, they just show up. And it's not pretty. But they show up. And they find out that he saves us. They find out he's a Savior. Remember during Christmas, in your life, what do you need to be saved from? Other people around you, when they ask, oh, he's a Savior. He can save you from anything.